Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Greetings, greetings, greetings. The peace be upon you today and greet you in peace. We are on another edition of Religion Means a Lot with your brother Ismael Kadar on New Africa Mondays. Calling live at the offices. We have two offices mainly, New York, New Jersey, and service in Philadelphia. We have a special show today. This show, first I want the honorable and noble audience, as I wish you peace in the beginning of this broadcast, I want to greet you with that peace. As my great readings, my religion, Islam, obligates me to establish that peace, that presence. We say a word, we say, Assalamu alaikum, the peace be upon you, the peace be unto you, excuse me, not upon you, that's what we give to our prophet, excuse me. The peace unto you, peace, we wishing the peace to you, unto you, obligate us for peace. And the return of that peace. Many times. So we want you to first relax. If you are a little uptight, you know, we say relax, but not relax in a sense of relapse or a little bit less aggravated. We are on New Africa Now, New Africa Now, New Africa Mondays. I've been busy. I've been very busy, and I thank you, you know, during the month of Ramadan. It's an honorable stance to be with you and during this month. And I want to go across a lot of to the universal faith communities, the communities across the board. We here at Religion Means Alive. We take pride in the sense of bringing our audience and people across the world the common essence of humanity, and also establishing ourselves as a people, as a new people. So we want to, you know, we know that there's many obstacles in that development, but we know that there's great progress also in this development. And I want to talk today about some of the struggles go through as a group, as a people, and some of the advantages that we can really get during this holy, blessed month of Ramadan. Ramadan, we believe, is the month where we as Muslims believe, but it's a common belief that it's the understanding, not just a belief, it's an understanding. Because sometimes we don't want to give the opinion that this is an opinionated, some people believe this and some people don't. This is the understanding of our religion, is that this was the month when the Quran was revealed. The Quran is the books in their corrected forms. Other previous scriptures were revealed, and the Quran gave great mercy to mankind prior to the Quranic revelation. There was no group that we could consider as on earth in community format of calling themselves Muslim. But we know that all the prophets submitted their will to the God, submitted their entire will, dependency, and based on God. So the word itself is one who submits his will to Allah, to God, the Creator. And we believe that this book that came finalizing revelation, clearing up some of the misconceptions, some of the things that were changed by those who had the scripture, and those who took a miserable price in selling out the scripture. And like many of us today that we see selling each other out, whether it's selling narcotics or sometimes it's selling the wrong format. So we on Religion Means Alive are trying to hold on 1 minute, I have a little thing in the audience. Excuse me. Yes. On Religion Means Alive, and I love that word. I love that word, live, alive. I want to finish off with just going over a few points of Ramadan for Muslims. I'm sure we have had much dialogue on the show, but I want to take advantage of this month during New Africa, and even those who don't practice, we want you to take advantage of this understanding of this light, great light. It's so beautiful when you serve God. So we, on this month, where we believe our scripture is one of the four holy months, we know that our scripture was revealed through the angel Gabriel, given this to Muhammad, the prophet, one who wasn't turned on to scripture, wasn't a scripture man, and that they couldn't read, wasn't literate, but had the perfect pattern of the type mentioned in a former scripture and in Quran, as one who will receive this revelation, a final revelation, and be a mercy to all the worlds. So he had a perfect human pattern. His pattern was perfect, excellent. Does that mean that the prophet never made mistakes? No. Does that mean that he walked on water? Or no. And many of us who are falling in love with this perfect in our eyes, we see major flaws with the human kingdom. I would say even impersonating that these things that are out of reach with most humanity. So we want to first acknowledge that. I'm sorry, we're having a little brief technical difficulties in the studio. Yes. So during this month of Ramadan, we go over our scripture. We intensely believe in making salat, making a prayer, so that means prayer. We are in congregations of prayer in the masjid, and this is a month where fasting is prescribed. Ramadan, most of us associated with fasting. I mentioned those other things because most of us in the public, not so much Muslims, but in definitions, we just equate Ramadan with fasting. It is the core of this month, but there are many principles enacted with that fasting. God's presence, God's help, He is always here, but we believe that during this month, He gives us much mercy in allowing us to fast and be obedient to Him, to practice restraint and discipline. Restraint is a form of discipline. I want to just say discipline in the form of, military discipline, but a discipline, a restraint of our appetite. And we return to the natural pattern that God made when He made the first human being. And even before, He made us with a pattern, a natural appetite, a natural pattern. And we fall victim to the world's influence. We fall victim to Satan's influence. And many times we leave that pattern of that excellence in nature. We leave that pattern, that origin. And fasting is prescribed, as we do it for Allah. But we also are serving humanity. During this month, we give to those who are less fortunate. Many of us have made prayers significantly and visit the sick, the elderly, the weak, the wayfarer, the orphan, the needy. We do special gifts during that month, and I believe it's a great month to also do interfaith work. Interfaith work, dialogue for those who. So this is not at all this broadcast intended for just Muslims. It's really first to open you up to the educational purpose of what Ramadan is for Muslims and how sacred it is. and also to remind Muslims. So we, during this month, practice these things. We practice restraint. We are told not to get angry as we follow the Prophet. As I mentioned, his character was intact, perfect human, mercy to all worlds. He was a very, very kind, loving example of a human being for all humans to take notice as we go into this new world, the world we in today. The world we in today has taken much from Muhammad to the Constitution, written laws to protect rights, to the business of trade, the way we conduct our affairs and trade. There's much to be written about the Prophet, as well as other prophets who are mentioned in the Quran and in the other Bibles and books, the Injil, the Torah. We know that there's much to be said about what has transpired. So we, during this month, also study the character of our Prophet. We study our religion. We study the Quran. We complete the Quran. One of the things that we call the Quran is a juice. And I say it's funny because, you know, you feed, you know, you're very thirsty when you fast. And most of the time it's thirst, fatigue, hunger, and thirst. But we are being fed constantly. If we read our scripture and remember God's word with a juice. So we want to remember that. So the first 10 days, we believe that we are asking for God's mercy. We start off with the first 10 days. We are now going 12th. We're in the 12th day. We ask for, in the next 10 days, for forgiveness. And the last 10 days that completes the 30 is freedom from the hellfire. Now, it's funny. When I was young and I was a baby, I have to be honest with you, when I was a young practicing Muslim, still always practicing, but I mean, I was just first coming into my puberty conscious. That's why I use the word practicing. I was young. It was not difficult for me to fast, but it was more of a strain on my physical body. The hunger, the fatigue. And just like Allah's mercy and going through life and going through, I will always somewhat try to prepare myself physically for fasting. And mentally in my mind say, oh, wow, it's going to be a month of fasting and food and stay up for Sahur, the month we eat a breakfast. We eat before, we don't call it breakfast. We call it eating, Sahur, before the fast. And I will always prepare. But now as I grow, I realize that I'm more in tune physically, and the spiritual nature of society is what really is a beauty through struggle. Because as this month, there's so many distractions that want you to eat these things, from culture to corruption. These things can invade our area of what we protected. So it's important to note that we are constantly protecting and guarding ourselves. And dear believers, we must be in guard of these great things. And as we go into New Africa, it will be established as also a great leader and teacher, Imam W.D. Muhammad, leader of the Nation of Islam, took the Nation of Islam to the world community of the West, and then also made changes to that language and kept evolving it as a leader of the indigenous Muslims here in North America, greatest group, largest group of indigenous Muslims. And he compared New Africa to the model that was given in the great Medina, given by our Prophet Muhammad. And I want you non-Muslims to understand that this model was not just a mercy for Muslims, but it was a mercy to all producing religious freedom, area where Muslim Jews and Christians lived together in harmony, which was unheard of prior to that time. which our government now is basing its philosophy upon that type of religious freedom. But it had a justice element to it that I think many a time we're looking for justice today. A justice and equality, and not gender equality, or just job equality, but truly equal before the eyes of God, before God. And I wouldn't even say eyes because I don't want to give you a physical impression of, but in terms of how God views us and sees us. All right? Not a human, not anything human, you know, form, but just relating to your language, that God sees us. And God sees us based on obedience, reverence for him. So we during this month, in the practice and restraint, and it was prescribed for you just like it was prescribed before you. So let's go back and now let's look at the word fasting. Let's look at, was it prescribed for those before you? Many of you Christians, my friends, I let you know that it's in your great book, your book too, the Bible. The Injil and Torah may consist of that. The Old Testament, New Testament, many books, the Psalms. But if you read through it thoroughly, you can find that fasting is definitely in it. Fasting and the removal, also not eating the pork, the pig, being decent, respecting your neighbor. All this is found within that great, those books. And we call those previous scripture from God. And he has given us the Kitab Mubin, the book making things clear, or the book also in the corrective forms. So we know that this has great understanding for us to even engage with our fellow Christians and fellow Judaic and fellow humans. Now, when you say breakfast, right, most of us look at breakfast, and I told a brother the other day, he wasn't Muslim. I explained to him that the word breakfast is, you break it down, you say break fast. So when we sleep, we are mostly fasting when we sleep. And most of us get visions if we're in purified form, if we're around the wrong element of society, we're around the wrong kind of people. You often hear people say, ah, well, I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to get a dream. I'm going to get body at rest. But the body also nutritiously is breaking down. That's why they don't advise people to eat at night, because the body needs time to break down and mobilize itself. And like anything else that works all day, you yourself being on your feet all day, you need a time to put it, you know, restore your body. And part of working out, I'm finding, is also good rest. But we know fasting is not just a state of rest. Fasting is also the state of working our conditioning our soul, conditioning our mind, conditioning our spirit, all in sync with returning back to the natural pattern that we were created when God created us. And created the universe, environment. All was based on this revelation that God has made, God gave, God revealed his word. And we many times fall victims of that pattern. We think our lives, additives, our environment. We add bad words, we add refrain, we add negativity, we add stress. And we can't, some of us now, we are so far gone, as I looked at that word breakfast, where they say is the most important meal. Most of us can't even sleep no more. So this breakfast is a relationship to sleep. And now we as Muslims should understand that we make a call in the morning when we make Sahur and Fajr, and we, it's uniquely, and our call to prayer is uniquely different in the sense that it's the only call where we add prayer is better than sleep. Salatu kaitu minna now. Prayer is, salat is better than sleep. is more useful. Like, whatever, just didn't say better, but excellent, but also useful. Utilize. It's to be utilized. It's to be utilized. That this prayer, this prayer, and you know prayer is connected, it's an act of worship, it's an act of work. So we know that this is signaling to come to success, come to life, to come to cultivation. We come to a cultivated state. So we know breakfast, we use this word of sleep, but we really are breaking the fast every day when we eat breakfast. But it's not the fast that we are talking about during Ramadan. It's the fast from your natural physical body, your physical environment. And God has even made great signs in that. Your mind is opened up. Your soul is opened up. There's many mystic meanings, and some you would even say angelic deities that may visit. But we don't want to go too far. We just want to say that this is revelation, revelation. Many people who have, like I said, problems, different things at work, or even something might be on your mind. You go and say, well, you know, I had a dream. I had a vision. And even in that dream, we pray that we be guided to have the right interpretation, because we still, as human beings, can error. We can error. So during this month, we are in prayer state. Prayer state. We're being obedient. First obedience is to be obedient. The first prayer is to be obedient to God, to turn towards God, to put yourself in a expression of one of the highest forms of creation, to put yourself as the lowest level that you could possibly go in obedience, and as a servant, not as a some would say friend, some would say children, some would use this language as we say for physical, but no, not none come to God but as servants. Even prophets come to God as the servants of God, serving God. And also, once we serve God, we should be serving humanity. So we don't look at our prophet that we have in Muhammad as an excellent type, as one who was Lord ruling over human beings, who created a kingship over human beings. We look at him as a servant of God first and foremost. And the reason why we say that first and foremost, because as you serve human beings, it's not ever to be looked at in the same way, or even to be imagined in the same way that you would serve God. But God wants us to serve the fellow man, but you can't serve him properly until you serve God. So you want to service humanity. You want to give humanity a great service. But you're a servant to God. God's servant. So we, in our innocence, we came here as servants. And we, many times, when we look at it or not, when we came out the womb, we were here, ready to be service to our fathers and mothers, utilized. And many times we have many of their good or bad habits. And we don't break and correct our habits, understand what it is to serve God, what it is to have the pattern he created us with. So we all here have some servants. We have men that serve a job. You know, you have people that serve jobs. You have people that serve their impulses, their rage. You have some people who are sexual servants, who serve their sexual impulses. We have people who play lottery and serve their I would not just say greed, but their lower instinct to be a gamer, playing games, to serve the addiction. They say lottery. He said form of gambling is the highest addiction. Dick Gregory, I believe, said that they used to have a saying that was said to a group of a preacher used to use this saying, and he said that if he was ever to a person did kill his whole family, which he was using in extreme situation, as a to show this act, because you know most of us we see a family, one person is slaughtered, but slaughtered. He said if someone was to ever to kill or slaughter his whole family, he would just pray for them to have a gambling habit. Gambling. So this was to show how deep addiction and gambling could be. Now we have all types of addictions. We see drug addictions. We see gambling addictions. So many of us, the Satan has made you his servant. You know, you might be serving something that you might be doing. You might be servicing some, but the higher cause, the higher root is not God at all. Has taken us off the path of righteousness, the path of restraint, the path of restraining ourselves. And one of the most forms that all humans, I hope all human beings listen to my show. This show is not intended just for Muslims, it's for educational purposes. It's intended to inform, and it's also intended to develop New Africa and the new freedom that we are talking about. This servant, those who lose touch, many a human family become angry. Angry at themselves, angry at other human beings, angry at their mothers, angry at their childhood. Now, we're cautioned by our prophet that a vice that can last a lifetime, a man came to him and said, give me, could I, dear beloved prophet, messenger of Allah, messenger of God, could you give me a vice that would last one man a lifetime? Last me a lifetime. He said, do not get angry. Then it was reported through the hadith, this report. And I'm going to give you a basic report. You know, we know that many of you scholars and those who study religion have been so many hadiths and many reports that, you know, we see we have some people who are really confused. Now, I'm going to tell you the importance of the Quran, as I mentioned in the beginning of the broadcast, that we must put every perspective, every report, report has to, two things. It should be instinctively, first and foremost, it should be instinctively agreement, accord with the Quran. There should be nothing in a report that contradicts with the Quran, the guidance that is giving in Scripture. We spend our time with this juice that we're feeding ourselves, we're eating, we're drinking this juice, it's real juice, because we're reading that Quran, the book, 30th. The obligation is not on the report, even though we welcome reports, we welcome reading, we welcome. And the second main context is that This uswa of excellence, the model excellence pattern is in the context of actual history. So the prophet is the actual reality of things he accomplished and did that historians have studied. If we just as I challenge us to, as Christian, Muslim, Judaism, we look at that, we would have great light. God said in the Quran that there's a light with him. So that light is with not just my sayings, but also with what I actually accomplished with my belief and my saying. Because we do this to filter out mischief mongers, those who make mistakes. Human makes mistakes. It's human error. You may hear something I said, and I pray that it reached you in the format, but it may reach your ears in a format that is not congruent, not in agreement to what I meant to deliver. Maybe it was my tone. And this is why Arabic, if you understand, and I'll get later into Arabic, Hebrew, is a real phonetic language. Sounds have played a major role in Arabic, and it's beautiful to be greeted by prayer. more than just hearing my words right now. And this is recorded. This has never been changed, the Quran. So we, that is a miracle. We are celebrating also during this month. We are celebrating a miracle. Man walking on water, not Superman. And I'm not making fun of any act that has happened before by God's grace, because there's many acts that we know that are physical, and also we could go into the implication of the physical meaning, the revelation of that, the revealed knowledge of that physical manifestation. But we know that human beings have a tendency, hey, I can't walk on water. I can't fly. So the miracle of Muhammad, the prophet, is also that he was a human being. The appetite. He was the human in a human form. Now, he was above human in the way Allah, God blessed. And when I mean above human, I don't mean he was above a human being. I mean that he was victorious in these impulses that attract many human beings. Even our father, Adam, was a great prophet, but fell victim to a particular scheme. Now, it wasn't because Adam was not a prophet or wasn't made honorable. It was just because, as being the first, you know, the plot, many times, even if you look at any form of anything, sports, the first group, very pure, very means well, but we see often that in this type, that there's much to come, the perfection. So Adam was limited in that experience, limited. Now we could go into all the way to Jesus and Esau. We had Moses before, and these all represent, these prophets represent types, as well as they are prophets. They also represent social conditions that were going on, schemes of Satan that were going on, and God instructed them with His word, His law, His book, His guidance, how to defeat and these schemes. And at the same time, the miracle was that not only was it instruction, but it was instruction for the group life, the community life. But in Islam, we see community life as requirement. Yeah, community life in Islam is a requirement. We see many situations with even messengers before where they were cut off from that life. So people were cut off from their life. And they were strategies on how to come back into that life. With Noah, we see that he was giving a commandment to leave and get away from that life. And his instruction was to warn the people, warn and build an ark, which is also has great information in that. I know many of you go to McDonald's and you see the golden ark, but many of you look at the ships in the sea and see trade. Could you imagine building a ship that nature? But he was given great knowledge, great information, great revelation at that time to help. But we see also that this was walking away. Now, in our book, we believe that it's not only mercy and a warning, but we see that it is also a great, 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 great glad tidings, great gift, great mercy. Matter of fact, we begin with prayer with the name of God, the most gracious, most merciful, benefactor, most merciful redeemer. So mercy is an important attribute. This is what God wants us to see, and even Christians agree to see how beautiful God's mercy and glory is. So we know that the first 10 nights we should be working in New Africa as we establish this model city, restraining ourselves, not getting angry, not eating vanities, not slandering each other, encouraging each other, educating each other. We should see that the first 10, we should be obligated to come into their mercy. And serving, not just the definition of what we would like to say, oh, I serve my Creator, treat a brother mean, treat a sister nasty. That's what the tendency of religious groups would have been. Interpretators to, and sometimes, many times, not sometimes, many times, the whisperer has invaded the people and given them a diet to really distract them from the meaning of the ritual, the meaning of the mercy. And they don't serve. So you would never, you guys don't say, he doesn't need this from us. He doesn't need even your salat. God doesn't need that to do his work, to be the cherisher and the sustainer of the worlds, for all the worlds. He doesn't need your prayer. And we know, we often hear other groups and our brothers and sisters talk about how much God loves us. But love is a great emotion, and he does have a love that is unmatched. But the real, we have to be careful with words, because in society's view of love, love is always a two-way street. And many times we think that if one loves us, they need us. This is a attribute that has been played by hidden schemers, psychologists, and they have used this to even take the material environment and say, if God loves you, why does he give us this? So this is a weird scheme. This is not just those who are against or outright paganistic, even though they have ways that are very much in line with paganism and materialism. They are materialists. They question messengers and say that they love, because they are getting things of society, they're getting revelation. They've been blessed. God has said he blessed in this life, he blessed the good and as well as the bad. But in the next one, we know that it's strictly only for his service. And that's where we're going. I'll get to that in New Africa section in a minute. But the schemers, they would challenge prophets such as Noah, prophets such as Salih. Over and over, we see schemers and Esau, Jesus, being challenged by those who say that they look to be more favored or loved. So I just want to be careful about love, because love, you know, there are people that do bad things in the name of love. We've seen many people say, well, you know, I could do this because my God loves me. I could do that. I could treat this guy like trash. I could do a little gambling. My God loves me. So we as Muslims are not just looking at love as much as we are looking at the fact that God does not need us, didn't have to use us when he built this world and built the heavens, and he didn't have to call us for that job or that task. So this powerful mercy that we are being invited to is a favor. None come to him but a servant. So we should now understand, how do we serve? How do we serve if we can't see him in that way, that physical eye way? How do we see him? Well, we should see him through not only his creation of what he has given and developed, which is look at the moon, look at the stars, look at the earth, look at the, but look at the highest form of expression that he has given us is our own creation. An expression that tells us as human beings how he has cherished and sustained our life and also all worlds. So we should treat each other as human beings very special. We should, this love that we say we have for God, we should love our humanity. We all, whether we say African-American, we say Caucasian, we say Asian, we all can look at the human body and get the picture that we universally have the same birth. Though we have different environment, you know, whether I was born in China or whether I was in Africa, the climate, the environment, the geography gives us a different picture. And even in that different picture, God said he made us that way so we would know each other. So I look at that as a beautiful garden that's so beautiful. Plants are same in type. You know, universally when you study science, they all go through photosynthesis with different leaves and different branches. So we are coming to a time, brothers and sisters, where the thing that media is promoting is to falsify the truth. And we here at Religion Means Alive have a great work to continue, because I say that this work that we did, we didn't establish this work. We didn't start this work. We're continuing this great work. It was continued with our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad. It was continued before the likes of Imam W.D. Muhammad, our great leader, with the prophets, and last being Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. This work to allow the human family has been destroyed and taken away from its bond, see itself in the truthful, not just factual form, but the pure truth. Abraham asked for truth. We don't ask for facts, just facts. See, a factual form of my human beings, I'm 6'5", 6'1", I'm, you know, brown and yellow, you know, I was here and this, and I was born in America. That's the facts. But we know truth, which the scientists who need truth to do operations, they need truth. To build mathematical towers, you need truth. T-Mobile uses truth to reach you. Verizon uses truth to reach you. Don't say the Chinese is different than the African-American. No, they are all humans. They even commercials, the ones who are giving us, this is why they're making progress. While so many of us is not united yet, the people have been very much divided and took away from their bonds, their nature. But the ones who are bringing the material have exploited this, and they are actually using this. Whether you go into China, you see a commercial is pretty much human. It gives us a certain picture that we might have in America. McDonald's use the same picture of the burger, the cheeseburger is value. Psychology is value. So the mind, we don't have three, four different types of psychology. We have a psychology that deals with the human mind. So not to say that we don't have symptoms of, you know, that have affected us as African-Americans, symptoms that have hurt us as Americans. But we know that essence in these that has destroyed the human family. So when we saw Frederick Douglass, which would also carry this great work, this was the first in our development. We want to say that this was a strong protest for the test, not the protest we see today. And no disrespect to those who march in the street, who those who march with banners. But the first protest for the test is to be tested by God But how does God test us? God tests us just the way we serve. It's not truly like you see in many of these spooks and shows and even traditions, someone going to a valley and making a mockery in some of these comedies, meeting the physical form of. No, these tests are things in our environment. Those who test our own humanity. And here was Frederick Douglass establishing himself in that humanity and being a greatest orator of that day. Not one to be taught by this faction, the secular world. Not one to be taught by the slave master in school. They matter of fact, denied our people that opportunity and were killed. And Frederick Douglass went through blows to escape his cruel slave master. And years later, is here leading and influenced to the president of the abolitionist movement, a movement challenging those who defiled use detrimental tactics against our own human nature. So we want to understand that this, though it was not what many would consider a scriptural book, this was a protest. This was a protest against those who had the scripture book, who had Revelation, and did not at all welcome us in that same light. So we have those who are manipulating this, and they told us to love. They told us to love. Manipulating this love. Manipulating this favor, if you may, of revealed knowledge. So don't say that they're wicked people, they don't have revelation. They don't have the truth of revelation. They don't have the direction, the guidance. But God has given them favors. But the favor that we are celebrating in this month, to be victorious in our obedience, we call it also reverence and taqwa, to be victorious in our restraint. And it was given to previous scriptures, and it's still in many that are Christian, some biblical members and leaders who still fast, but also a concern from some is the days went too fast. So we look at the lunar calendar. We are encouraged to be great students of creation. We are encouraged to look at the physical creation, to not ignore our creation, to not ignore this creation. We fit in this creation. So we should not be scared of this day that we are welcoming and embarking on. We are not those who are going to see See, there's so many man-made ideas and myths and religion that the ones who have taken what they needed out of this, not for the good of the race or the human race, but the good of the good of what they think was good, to they are frightening the people. But what's going to do with science? It's in many movies of how science is coming here to eradicate the myth that's in religion. But they're not telling you that most of this myth was created by them. So don't look at idol worship as just worship of wood. Sure, I don't even know if you could just say it is today wood and metal. But look at it as falsified concepts that are not creation based and put more fear in our life than our obedience to God, our reverence to God, too, our reference. I would say not just reverence, but our reference. And why would I have to say reference? The reference is proven. I don't have to make anything up. Go outside and let's go into the ocean.
go and look at the sun. Let's go and look at the moon. This order is proven. So science will have some scientists, not the, they don't own the science. We actually produce the science. And it's facts that Islam brought the enlightenment of science to the earth. To the, it was a few groups that were keeping secrets together, but they never had the great progress as not only as a common people coming into science, more advancement for the human race, but we also see that there was greater advancement in the science itself. So we are not to be scared of this day. We should embrace our roles as believers, as Muslims, as humans, those who even have given up on the doctrine that they see preached. Know that your goodness is on the rise. And there are falsified information that is not, it's not creation based. So I'm not going to give you this other radio broadcast. I'll tell you what feels that I think you should study. This one, I just want you to reflect and think as a spirit of Ramadan that's touching me for us to be thinkers again. And, you know, we have a tendency for people to overthink. This is what I want to talk about, too, the overdrive, to overkill, to overthink, to overworship. What, do any man overworship? Well, in the sense of prayers itself and the purity, you can never go past the, you know, praising and what's fit. We need abundance. We always need forgiveness. But in the sense of worship, but not in its proper context. Some would say idol, that word again, idol. Not in that word, we're not looking at a person just basically a pagan. We're looking at words with no action. We're looking at praying with no action. So we want to reference that over what I'm discussing of that type of worship is to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. Talk scriptural, factual, educational language, whether it's Quran, whether it's Arabic, or whether it's Hebrew, whether it's English. Overly. Not perform the act. So we know the fast, one of the things, obedience, is we don't linger and say, oh, I can fast another hour. I'm not here. I'm not hungry. We rush to complete that favor. We rush when it's broken to be in obedience. So we don't want to be too far to the left, and we don't want to be too far to the right. But we are the righteous. And when I mean right in this stone, I'm not meaning in righteous and right. I'm talking about position, balance. That's why we consider ourselves balanced. And when you do balance, you have a left and a right. If you understand anything about, you know, we all encourage ourselves to learn and look at balance in buildings, and also our bodies need balance. I said on a previous broadcast, we could drink too much water and be sick. So this natural time is for those who understand this to really come alive to the world, bring you to life. Now, what I wanted to go, I'm going to the phone lines in 1 minute. I wanted to finish, because it's very important of what we're going to be addressing, and I want to get to our phone lines, because we want to carry this home. We want to carry this home, and I pray that during this the month of Ramadan and in this month of just being a human month, because those who are not Muslim may be just calling in this great time for you. I pray that, and I wish that, you know, this fed you. This gave you some insight to our appetite. and guarding it and checking our appetite. Now, the name of this is Ramadan and Days of Mercy. I spoke about the mercy. Forgiveness is the second part. And I thought it was important for us to talk about how do we serve our Creator. I thought it was important for us to talk about how He doesn't really need us. I mean, when we read the Quran, we see, who will give God a beautiful loan? Is this a physical? Does this mean you're going to go to some mountain somewhere where you feel you find God and leave some money on a mountain? We see also language of who strive hard in God's cause. Does this mean that you go looking for? And some of us, I have to clear this, because society, especially the materialists, has made us in this susceptible to this scheme. Turn on TV. BET, I have to call you out. Gives us a life from Monday through Saturday being victimized by the game syndrome, which I told you, gambling, and this is the game syndrome. The game syndrome is deep. I mean, boxing and basketball, especially basketball, these are pure sports. But even these bettors have bet our life on these sports, and they make big money on point spreads. Now, the game syndrome is how our life is a game. I think we have a movie out, a show, actors came out, Acting Empire on the BET Awards. Fox 5, who we consider almost our nemesis as a people, rivals, our talented actors. Now, I'm the kind of guy, I don't take nothing away from them. I don't destroy people. We as Muslims have to get out of that as anger. You know, I don't call a person just a buffoon. I know that that's not their nature. Their nature is not buffoon. They're acting buffoon as a buffoon. They are great actors. And this is what makes it so difficult for many to be truthful. They're great musicians. Now, some of the musicians today, I got to be real with you. I don't even know if it's that great, but that's a little joke. But most of the people have talent. God has made us useful. But it's the way we are utilized that we fall victim. Even in the Quran, we are taught that in gambling and in intoxication, profit for men, some gain. But we are looked at. See, so our religion encourages us to look at this from a logical. I don't like when Muslims tell me this ain't the book for logic. This is the complete logic. No innovation in our religion. Well, you weren't with the Moors. You didn't know how to make no inventions, brother. You didn't know that we made the toilet bowl. You didn't know that we made the way we look at the stars set. And this is why we are not making this advancement when we have these kind of reports. But anyway, we, as Muslims, are taught that the sin outweighs the benefit. So God doesn't do like most of you and say, oh, brother, that ain't nothing. They're gambling, man, that ain't nothing for us. That ain't trash for us. No, no, no. We not to say. Let's repeat what God says. We'll go into our. So I'm not using this to talk about gambling again, but I'm going to tell you that I know the urge in us. I know the urge to buy that lottery ticket. Been down for 30 years, hungry. This is a great game. Funny, goes to your eyes, foil the ticket. But we know that the disadvantage, the way Satan, the way your enemies, I don't want just, for those who went too spooky, I don't want to just say, let me just call it your enemy of your production, the enemy of your human cultivation, the enemy of your productive life, are utilizing this game in a way that far outlasts that man with the lick in his hand that never will do anything. Now, imagine in the productive state that God wants you to be, if you had that same savings plan that you rush to get your check, and put $4 or $5 or $10, some go as far as $20, $30 tickets. Can't even pay their rent and got that ticket. Imagine if you had a savings plan for your first house, even if it took you 10 years. So this is the productive life that we should see. So we know that God is telling us with this, that it's not the attribute of saving or playing a game that's corrupt. It's the way it's being utilized. So we stay away from gambling. We stay away from intoxication. And more, we have to know that speech can be intoxicating. So we pray to God that we don't even over-talk, over-sleep. Food can be intoxicating. Nowadays, we know people that's 900 pounds. And now we're not making fun of anyone who has that condition, because if you're listening to me now, we also, you're God's servant. And we're here to wake you up to life. So what I want to say on this second part, as we begin into our callers, is that if it's not needed from us, how do we reach? How do this piety, this charity that's obligated? And like I said to you again, that Muslims are obligated as a communal religion. The reason why we're catching a lot of, especially the members of the Imam Muhammad, but in the Ummah in general, the problem that we have in facing Muslims is we have lost sight that this is a Ummah. This is a communal religion. This is community. We are obligated to come to Juma, the brothers, the leaders, the sisters, all the community, the Ummah, the Immi. We have lost sight of educational systems. Looking at not just education in Harvard, Yale. And I think that we have to be important that the fast is also promoting education. Somebody told me, oh, yeah, well, there's a debate on how to break the fast. There's a debate. You know, I don't know what time. Well, this not knowing the time is because we're not obedient to God and the creation. And we put more reference to a numbers or your iPad. These are people who have designed systems based on God's system. Now, they don't buy a system based on their system. They buy a system based on viewing, looking, utilizing. Now, here God is giving you, the natural man, the original man, and original woman, the ability to look as a community, as a group, to not be deceived with your eyes, the ability to look with your physical eye, and you don't trust your eyes more than you trust your clock. Now, that's a sign. Those who do that might as well eat spaghetti instead of eating the date. Now, that's a sign that we are not in God consciousness. We are going towards God consciousness. But many of us, we're in man's consciousness. And we have to be corrected in education. Sisters, in man consciousness, man schools. The ulama has given us many man conscious ideas, conscious of them even, more than you're conscious of the reading for yourself. I've heard the brother tell me the other day, yes, I agree with you, but we first, his spirit, I like what the brother said, one of good friends, and I want to shun a love to him. I disagree with him thoroughly. But he said, we follow, because am I disagreeing with what he's saying or what I'm disagreeing the context? And this is why we have to be more adults. When we in school, we learn to read, but when we go and take the SATs and we leave school, we have to find things in context. Yeah, we go through a passage. Not just the wording. How is it being said? How is it being expressed? So we should be adults. So I believe with him in Allah and the last Muhammad is the messenger. I know that, and I'll die with that. I'll live and die with that. But he was trying to tell me that we can't look at the sun. So this is a contradiction to me, because I say to myself, what if there's a day, who are you telling me is the example of Muhammad? Are you telling me the man that made this book, the ulama, or the leaders of Islam? Well, they should be. But we know that this is can be misunderstood. And we should also find understanding that in this misunderstanding, can come great error in our life. So as Muslims, we are even to correct the imam. This is why you need to learn, this is why we learn, read our scripture. Because these stories are not so much new. God is openly telling us over again, Allah, the Creator, is telling us over and over that these should be confirming, these groups of people in the world should be confirming the scripture, confirming this prophet. This is not a new position, but it is a position to tell our family that this truth has been with you, and only a few been using it for the advantage, keeping the mass of people. And to my Christian brothers and friends, historically, I like to tell you this. We are beautiful, beautiful, beautiful servants of God. There's much to be said about this in the advancement of many of Christian, good, decent people. And as far as my people, of course, of coming across the same Frederick Douglass, same Harriet Tubman. We had the AME, African Methodist Episcopalian Church. But we should note, if we, as we talk about Christianity as far as of our great the Vatican leader, the Pope, that there was a mass majority of Christian people at a time did not read or were illiterate, could not read. Now, I'm not saying this to make fun of that. I'm not here to make fun of the fact that they couldn't read. I'm here to say that one of the great advancements that Islam had added was the fact of literacy, to read. Now, most of us were slaves. We were told not to read. So let's get to the fact that we can correct the imam if he makes a mistake in a prayer. So this is a beautiful observation. But in this correction, many of us get bad blood sometimes. In this correction, even as we talk to our fellow Christians, the books in the corrected form with Islam and Jews, there's much to be said about this anger and ways that we address issues and problems. We see a problem right now in our country, many of our moral problems. Must be said. So God gives us the second part as forgiveness. Now, as I stated, as externally, as just as we should not just be looking to be charitable, looking to some mountain, we should be looking at human ourselves, especially as a community. We should be looking to charitable, sustainable causes with charitable people. El Amin, the prophet was El Amin. So we don't give a charitable effort to a known crook. And we don't forgive just in a sense of forgiveness to a robber. This is why you should be reading if you read the Quran on point with the Jews, it goes right into forgiveness right on the 10th. It goes right into and the status of forgiveness. Muhammad was even warned, don't go to a prayer to me talking about the disbelievers. So this forgiveness is not necessarily with those who disbelieve and fighting against our will. Forgive. We don't mock any religion who utilizes that or any group of people. But our religion is not emphasizing forgiving wrongdoers. First and foremost, we must forgive, ask forgiveness for ourselves. We all make mistakes, whether it's facts and miscalculation, or whether it's sin. We make mistakes. We error. we are limited in our expression of our senses, but we have the most complete expression of the five senses. I want you to know that. What I mean is there's animals that hear better than us. Some animals see better than us. Night visitants, owls, dolphins use a percentage of brain waves. But we have the most complete life balance and also intellect to discern. And look this up. When you leave this, look up the intellect. Look up these things, the akal given in our religion. And I don't want to just say brain, because brain, we many of us have, who say we have a brain, we know that's the function. We know that's the top. But many of us, when we look at brain, we're talking about a natural function of the body. And a lot of us have become brainiacs, and I can show you over where we don't use our intellect. Many of us. So I don't want to say the brain, even though I know the brain, like lamb and sheep. I could go into this, that lamb and sheep is words that interchangeable use. One can be used as women we eat, and the other one could be used as people who are sheepish. So I want to have another discussion on Revelation and also what Imam Muhammad gave us in that language. That could be another discussion, our revelation. Our brother Imam Mujahideen Muhammad puts, our reparations is revelation. So we know that this forgiveness, we should ask those who we love first and foremost, ourselves. We should love ourselves. We should love God first and foremost. So we ask him for forgiveness. Then we ask our reflections, which is our brother. That's why we say brother and sisters, more than ourselves. We said in the Nation of Islam, we used to keep each other as a brother. I'm your reflection. And our word was our bond. So our word for ourselves should be a word to each other. Our exercising for ourselves should be exercising with each other as a community. So we should ask for forgiveness, and I pray that anything I did wrong this year to those around me and those out there, that I be granted, that you ask God, first and foremost, to forgive me. And then secondly, that you, in your heart, in your soul, exercise that forgiveness. So we want to constantly be going after these two to have control. Now, as we conclude, we're going to conclude. The fast is coming. We want to be obedient. And one thing they told us, we could go where we have time issues. They called us, gave us our own time. We want to be free from that. We want to be free from being late, because we're not late. We are new. We're not late. People, we are new people. Ramadan and Days of Mercy, forgiveness, and social responsibility purification, which basically we all are told that if we can't do the fast, we partake in any way. This is not a spectator. I heard people say a spectator sport, but I don't like the word sport, because this is religion, and when we say sport, that would make it seem that this is, we could substitute that for a game. So we got to be careful of words. We know words make people. So I wouldn't say this is not a spectator sport, even though, like I said, in the context, I understand what is trying to be said. But we got to be careful of Shaitan or Satan or man's work, because he can use something that even in the good, in the long run, it hurts your life. So I heard people say, this is not, Islam ain't a spectator sport. No. This is not a spectator. This is not something that we do as spectators. We are obligated. So you businessmen in this community have an obligation. And I want to say this, and I'm going to be doing more. I'm bringing out my CD, Islam's Climbing to Business Success. We come into our beautiful convention, inshallah, in Chicago. We'll be across America promoting this. But the business people have to wake up. And I say this for our own souls. that this charity is a responsibility. We find Allah telling us in the Quran during this month how important it is to be charitable. You can't fast from a journey, from a sickness. You know, you're not excused. You make it up by feeding someone and being charitable to someone, feeding someone. And we should now start to feed societies, feed minds. We all need to make up. We all need to make it. We need to fast from the BET Awards. I've seen so many people, oh, man, I watched the BET. Well, brother, we need to make that up. Be charitable. Build a new society. Feed. Don't just give them food that has disease in it. Don't give them food that has bad food that you would not touch yourself. So let's not, let's know that this is a social responsibility. We all have a responsibility. Come to your Lord during this month and in general, not just during this month, but in general. Always come and ask to be more useful for your community, more useful to yourself, more useful, more foremost for God. But don't play that role where others are, oh, I'm doing God's work, and you know, your bank account is going to the millions. And you know, you give a one day. Now, God bless you. But we're not going to be a social strong group of leaders and men till we come into social responsibility. This is for the soul. The more blessings you do, more gifts you give to a cause of righteous and business and right cause, the more you will help your environment, the more you will help yourself, your community. Because who knows, you might pass, and your sons may need, and your son may not be in the position that you were in. But because you were so self-centered or selfish and thought about your job, teach responsibility, didn't build institutions that encourage responsibility, encourage trade, then you fell victim to being a user and abuser. And many of our people are users and abusers. They call us consumers, consumption. Now, I don't want to go too far and say it's your fault, but I do know those who knew religion and knew the revelation. They say the spendthrift and the Satan is friends. Now, we don't want to go too far and call you, like Malcolm used to say, you know, the people who will create that language. We not, you know, that's revelation. What I gave you is Islam. That's Allah. That's not me. But the people, you're not in no moral position to call us that, because you took away a lot of our, I'm talking to the ones who would use to call us that now, you know. That's true. They would call it black spenders, but we had great ideas, great places like Wall Streets and black, you know, Nation of Islam, and we saw many who worked against that development. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that don't take that old mind and be in a new light. The day has come where we're in a new situation. If we still have the old mind in this new situation, we can't make progress. And you just be patient in adversity. You should also know that you're doing this not for Ismail, not for Mujahideen Muhammad, not for the New Freedom District, not for Imam Alfred Muhammad. You're doing this for God. Let's return to that. We believe that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and this was believed, we believe he was fulfilling God's work. So we supported him. Do you think that we would be ignored? You think that we, those pioneers and those believers, would be ignored because of getting more light of the Prophet and the Quran? No, God is not high above he and what you imagine him to be. This is I could go for another hour on that, but we want to finish this up and go to the phone lines and make any announcements, any comments you're welcome to give. But I just wanted us to go past social responsibility is for us to be responsible, us to have group life, group identity, for us to be in the light. We're in the light. And I can't say it enough. We're coming into a new time. If you follow the media, you'll be lost. You know, you're not going to get your revolution from TV. You're not going to get your freedom from watching Fox 5, CNN. A lot of us have become nothing but reporters. And I'm sorry to say, because I love Facebook and I'm on there and I go in there, but we ain't going to exercise New Africa by making a Facebook article. Do like we are doing and brothers are doing out here. First and foremost, ask for God's assistance. And know that you're a community body. I don't care when I ask about forgiveness. I said forgiveness is because people hurt you through this. There's people that say, oh, I don't like what that brother said about me last year. I don't like what that sister said. You should be cation. That's why I call this social responsibility purification. Working with those who may, not those who work against the plan, the schemers. No, the Quran, you should know that person by that type, because many of us know that. We say, well, that guy's a good person. I just can't take that. You know, he hurt when he's... So ask for forgiveness and work in your places. That don't mean you have to work with a particular person, but at least take the step. And three people can represent 3 million. So we bought about six... We're buying properties rapidly in Philadelphia. We have a New Africa Square. And we're going to go to the phone lines. This is a great. This is why I've been so long off the program, but I see the lines lighting up. And I'll get to a few calls. First caller, 407. I think this is the brother Imam on the phone. Mujahid Muhammad, are you there? I think he's listening probably. Are you there, brother? Okay, let's get to another call, 267. Your religion means a lot.
Assalamualaikum.
Assalam. Peace be unto you, my brother.
Yes, sir. Peace be unto you. Peace and blessings. excellent. One thing I just, correction, actually it adds to what you were saying about the spendthrift is the brothers of the Satan. And what we can see with that is that they are kin. That behavior of, like you were talking earlier about gambling, wasting your life, wasting your time, wasting your energy, is akin to the scheme of Shaitan, who wants to waste our talent, waste our potential. So I just wanted to add that to the dialogue. Excellent. Yes, sir.
Excellent. Yes. And like someone just put up, it was said in 1975 how lazy we have become for the black flag wearers. Now, I'm not dissing anyone who has a black flag. I love, I know what it represents, but
yes,
I know,
sir,
we're in a state that we can make so much progress. The reason I want to wake this country up, and we're working on it with brothers and sisters like our sister we have online and the brother we have online in here. This is the best time. Trust me, I'm going to have another special coming up on these laws. But you got to understand that first we got to deal with our laws. We have to perfect the God conscious law first. You know, don't worry about the Supreme Court. You know, you just fight the fight that most are fighting. I mean, this happened many times. The schemers have done these kind of schemes, and not the ordinary people. Many are ordinary people fall victim to what we know is true. But we have to be erect. We have to be upright. We have to build institutions. So I just wanted to say that whether you pro or for or against something, don't live your life. Brother, a lot of people saying about Lot, using Lot. Well, Lot is an ayat in the Quran.
we don't define the whole Quran by Lot. And the reason I'm telling you this is to say that you have a complete favor on you. And I agree to challenge. I agree to challenge anything unnatural. But we as a people, we have not returned to our natural law. And if we return to the natural law, we will see that these other laws will become small. Matter of fact, I was reading where the Quran said many times have a small force, defeat a much, much bigger, much more. Now, also, it shows us that in the eyes of the disbelievers, God sent the angels to make it that these small force were bigger than they were, appeared to be larger. But also, we should understand that in the spoils of war, that because sometimes large can hurt you. To be too large can hurt you. God said he didn't use it. That wasn't utilized. As he sent two parties to meet. And I could give you meaning of that. It didn't say that they would look larger. It didn't say they were increased in size, in their eyes, sight. So we want you to understand that also to be sometimes is a protection. We as a community is very low. We've been off the radar in some senses. So sometimes it is a protection. So God works this interchangeably. When I mean interchangeably, it'll work for your benefit if you are sincere. So don't always look for media attention. Look to be in, but also we fight the schemes. And we should know how to, as believers, to go at the root. And I'll have one last caller. And we'll break the fast. 1 minute. 404-909-9387. You're on Religion Means Alive. From Atlanta. Atlanta, Georgia, in the house. I see the 404 number.
As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Oh, peace be unto you. Alaykum salam, good brother.
Yes, I'm Brother Salim Muhammad from Atlanta. I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and I travel across the country, and I see good things happening across the country as I make Jumas and different events across the country. So you're on point, brother. Appreciate you.
We love you, brother. We love you, brother. And first and foremost, it's nothing like getting greeted by another believer during the month of Ramadan. And I just wanted to say to Atlanta, we love you, a very thriving community. And we see great things happening there as also a good model. And there's so much going on right now that I know we're in sync. And we're blessed to have you listening to us in the truck or wherever you're at on your journey, my brother. May blessings be with you and peace be with you. And we're going to
do Ramadan
so
Mubarak.
Everyone can make their fat. Ramadan Mubarak, my good brother. And we should be in Atlanta real soon. And as you see, Imam Suleiman to give us our greetings real soon.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so, yeah, that's my childhood friend. That's one of my childhood friends. Well, we're going to be, so you can make all brothers and sisters that was on the show, we respect your time. Thanks for your time, honorable audience, noble audience. We want you to make the fast and make God's blessings, mercy, and be with you and we listen to you, and we hope that you listen to us on another edition of Religion Means Alive. New Africa is coming, and we definitely want us to develop, okay? And there's great developments anytime you get a chance to Philadelphia. You'll have listened. We thank you for listening to another edition of Religion Means Alive.